Good morning, everyone.
It's
good to see you all today. What a great day we have to worship our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Awesome. If you are a guest, we are glad to have you. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. My name is John Paul. And if you have a minute to stay afterwards, we would love a chance to get to meet you. Today, we're going to be continuing our lessons in Moses. Before I go forward, I wanted to say something about this. Is I originally decided to do this in Joseph, and the reason I chose Moses was when I had you guys fill out those cards, one of you asked me to do a lesson in Moses, and I got to thinking, you know, what I want to do would probably be easier to do in Moses, and so I was actually kind of glad that I got this request, and I wanted to give a shout-out to the person who asked me to do Moses, but he's not here today because his mom is sick, and that is Aiden, but also that I told Aiden that I would say happy birthday to him from the podium because tomorrow is his birthday, so if you guys get a chance to see him, you should all wish him a happy 10th or 11th birthday? 10th. Okay. Good. Today we're going to be talking about something I know almost everyone in this room has probably faced, and that is when your back is against the wall. How many people have had their backs against the wall? What do you do in that situation? You fight or you freeze, right? Because you got nowhere to run to. You can't run behind you. If you run forward, you have to face the problem. And so, do we like this situation? Does anybody like having their back against the wall? I don't think anyone can honestly say that they were glad that they were in that situation. Even if you feel like you're a better person, I bet none of you actually liked being in that situation. And so when we look at this story, this is kind of like where I want to go with, but I want to focus with how it leads up into the story. So the last few weeks I've been kind of reading up to the story so far, so let's go back a little bit so we can understand where we're at this point. Now, last week we talked about Moses. He confronted Pharaoh, and Pharaoh decided, no, I don't want to let you go. So what did God do? He brought down those 10 plagues, and they were pretty disastrous for those people, wouldn't you say? Yeah, I'm losing you. All right, I'll just stand over here until we get that working. Technical difficulties are always fun. But God allows the 10 plagues to happen, and sometime between the 9th and the 10th plague, not really important to what we're going to talk about today, but I do want to mention it because it's significant, was the Passover event. At some point, we're going to talk about this in the future because the Passover is considered to be the most important Jewish holiday. It's during the Passover week that Jesus is crucified. And so even for us as Christians, it has significant cultural significance. I should have said it that way. A little bit tongue-tied this morning. So I want you to know that it starts with this event between the 9th and 10th plagues. So Moses tells them all to paint their doors, and then the angel will pass over them, and then much later they decide they're in a hurry so they don't have time to put leaven in their bread. And so we get a bunch of, this is where that story comes from. So finally God inflicts the 10th plague on them. Pharaoh decides, I'm going to let you guys leave, and almost quickly changes his mind. Alright, I'll just give up on this today. Thanks for bearing with me. So you got to do this with a smile because you never know what's going to happen. So Pharaoh changes his mind. He's like, all right, no, you did all this terrible stuff to me, so I'm going to do something terrible to you. I'm going to send all of my armies after you, and I'm not going to let you go, whether I'm going to bring you back or I'm going to kill you. It doesn't really matter. The story doesn't explain it. And so God, to protect them, he creates a pillar of wind during the day and fire during the night. And so this is where we are in the story. So what happens there? Well, Exodus 14:9 says, the Egyptians pursued them, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and the horsemen and his army, and overtook the encampment at the sea by Pi-Hahiroth, kind of a mouthful too, in front of Baal Zephon. And so he goes after them, and now they've got nowhere to go, because behind them, they got the ocean. In front of them, they've got a pillar created by God, and in front of that, they've got this huge army. Yes, well, how big are the Israelites at this point? About 600,000 men. That's what the text says, about 600,000 men. That's a lot of men, right? If you look at World War II, I think it is estimated that the Allies, or at least the American Allies, sent 150,000. So that, by comparison, about a fourth of what we sent in World War II. Just the Americans. I'm not talking all of them, just the Americans. But what's the difference here? Well, the difference is the Egyptians had chariots, they had horses, they had weapons. So they might have, the Israelites might have had numbers, but they certainly didn't have any way to fight. So even though they had this large quantity of people, it would have been a slaughter. Much probably like the Alamo. And so literally their backs are against the wall because they have nowhere to go. Now, this is what is kind of frustrating to me in this story, is I look at the problem. What's the problem? The problem is they think they have no options. Moses knows God. Moses talks to God in the form of a burning bush. He carries out God's will through the 10 plagues. God is standing in front of them, literally standing in front of them, as a pillar of wind and fire. And what do they do? They complain. They feel like even though God is there with them, they have no options. I think there's a really good lesson in this. Is even though that we are saved, we have God on our side. And how many times do the apostles write something similar along those lines? That God is our side? That we feel like we have no other options. Because we live in a world of sin. And sin is very tempting. I won't deny that. Sin is very tempting. It's also the easier option. And so when we start to be confronted with these problems, we start to feel like that our backs are against the wall, what do? We go into panic mode. Or we go into that fear mode. And so we see this no different. Like I said last week, nothing new is under the sun. When the Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us to die in the wilderness? What have you done in bringing us out of Egypt?" So their fear sets in, their panic sets in. They question Moses' leadership. But even worse, they question God's ability to save them. God is standing right in front of them, and they think they're going to die. Let that sit in for a moment. God is standing right in front of them, and they think that they're going to die. Hindsight. Hindsight is very, very important here. Because I know I can say that. I know I can say that this just seems ridiculous. If I saw God standing in right in front of me, and then an army standing right in front of that, what do I have to be afraid? But I also know that I probably would be. Because I know that God stands in front of me every single day. He stands beside me, and if necessary, He also carries me. But still, I still have anxiety. I still am afraid. And then when that fear starts to set in, what starts to happen? Well, I lose faith. And then when I start to lose faith, I start to fall back on old habits. Just like we saw here. Like, I think I'd rather have been a slave than have you lead me out in the middle of nowhere to let me be killed. Because that way was familiar. That way was easy. It may not have been good, but it was certainly better than living with this feeling. Because when our backs are against the wall, we really don't know what to do. I think it's a true test of our character, but oftentimes we don't know what we're going to do until we're actually in that moment. And so this is where the bulk of my lesson is going to be, is what are you going to do when your back is against the wall? I can't tell you what you're going to do because I honestly don't know. But I can tell you that when your back is against the wall, there are 9 things I want you to try to remember. First one is, when your back is against the wall, please remember that God knows what He's doing. It is, first in this story, it is God that led them to the Red Sea. So He intentionally put them in this position. Why? Because He knows the big picture. I don't know the big picture. And because I don't know the big picture, that's why I'm scared. Now, I see the big picture in the story of Moses because I've read it. But I wasn't living it. And that must have been very, very frustrating for the Israelites. Because they did not see it. And because they did not see it, it did not make sense to them why He would bring them to this place at this time. Could they have conceived that God was going to part the waters? Probably not. I mean, that's a true testament of God's power, is I'm going to take this water and I'm going to separate it. But they've never seen anything like before. I've never seen anything like that. Well, not technically true. When I was in high school, I did a little tour of Hollywood Studios, and they had this thing where the water's kind of, it was from a movie, and they just kind of like parted this little river. And then we went through it, kind of like God parts the waters. And they'd used that in the movie before. But that's the closest thing I've ever seen to something like that. But I knew it had something to do with machines and the way they had set it up. And it wasn't even that big. But this was thousands of years before we could even get that far technologically. And God made that happen. So they had no preconceived notion of what that's like. But it happened. This is what, when God, we put our faith in God, it says we can move mountains. But God certainly moves them for us. When your back is against the wall, remember that God leads the way. Like I said, God is the one that led them here. And He led them there in a physical representation. He led them there in the form of a pillar of wind and fire. And He got them there. Now, we don't get that. We get to follow God's will. But that will gives us wisdom and clarity if we choose to accept it. I think finding it can be a little bit difficult, but it's definitely there. When your back is against the wall, remember that God turns the hearts of kings. God, it says right here that God turned the heart of Pharaoh. He hardened his heart. So if He can turn the hearts of kings, one, He can certainly turn our hearts. But two, He can make things happen. Because like I said last week, He is God. He is the one and only God, or as we would say in the Greek language, the monogune. The one and only. Yes. Thank you, Philip. That's true. There is no two gods. There's just one. And that one God can do anything. When your back is against the wall, remember that God sees opportunities in obstacles. As we see, as I already read in 14:19, the armies pursued them. Pursued them to the sea. They must have been afraid as well, because these people had to have known what just happened. I mean, God just caused these terrible plagues, and Pharaoh acknowledges the plagues, which means they certainly did. And they were probably, because of their belief systems, we can assume that they were superstitious. But yet they chased them anyway, because they knew if they didn't, they would be put to death. And so, in this large army that's chasing them, there's a problem. But God looks at that problem and He smiles, because that is a chance for Him to show who He is. And the larger the problem, the bigger the opportunity. Especially the bigger the chance we get to see God's awesomeness. Because there is no problem, and I want to say this 1,000 times, there is no problem that God can't overcome. In fact, I would challenge you to find one. Because you can't. God can take care. If God can part the ocean, if God can create the world, if God can forgive you of your sins, there's nothing in your life that God can't help you with. Remember when your back is against the wall, to choose to trust in God. Because you really only have two options here. You can trust in God or you can focus on the problem. Has worrying ever solved a problem? This is an open question to the congregation. Has anybody ever had a problem that was fixed by worrying about it? No. If you have, I would really like to hear it. I want to write that one down in the history books. Because worrying doesn't fix it. It just makes us feel terrible. And so we need to be able to trust in God to take care of it. It even says right here in Exodus 14:14 that our trust in God, the Lord will fight for you. And we don't even have to do anything. He will fight on our behalf. They were scared. We're scared. We get anxious. We don't like being in a situation that we have no control over of. But God still remains faithful. God still saves, and He still helps us overcome. Remember when your back is against the wall? God knows when it's time to move. I love to pray. Does everyone here love to pray? But the problem with prayer is that at some point, you got to move beyond it. When I was in Iraq, we had this thing that we were doing with our company. The first sergeant wanted to raise morale, so he decided to have a party. And he wanted some feedback from the other platoons to find out what they wanted. And so I was chosen as a representative for my platoon to help plan this party. And so we talked, and we went back, and we talked to him. And it became very, very clear very, very quickly that we needed more information. And so someone suggested going back and talking again. And he said something that I think is very, very important here, is that, okay, there was a time for talking, but now there's a time for moving forward. And it's time to move forward. And that's what God says here. He says, tell the people of Israel to go forward. Because you got to move when God tells you to move. If He says go, you go. What happens when you don't go? Maybe you'll end up in the belly of a whale. Maybe the words will burn like a fire in your bones. But you can't ignore God. God will always find you. But if you do go, He will lead you as well, as like I said. And He will lead you with assurance and clarity. Maybe we don't hear. We have faulty hearing. But it's there. Go when He says go. When your back is against the wall, remember, God knows when it's time to be obedient. So not only do you need to go, but you need to listen because He said so. Be obedient. I tell this to my kids all the time. Listen to me. Kind of a hypocrite sometimes, because when God says, John Paul, listen to me. I'm sorry, God, what did you say? God works powerfully on our behalf, right? But we still have to listen. He tells Moses to make the sea part. God could have just made the sea part. He didn't have to make Moses do it. But he told Moses to do it. And Moses did it. He told Moses to go. Moses didn't want to go. He tried to fight him. But eventually in the end, God won. So be obedient to God. Remember, when your back is against the wall, that God stands between you and the enemy. Where was the pillar? The pillar was between them and the enemy. Just like I said, God stands in front of us, beside us. He sends His angels to protect us. Kind of talked a little bit about that in class today. He sends His Spirit to lead us. And He sent His Son to save us. God has been protecting us for thousands and thousands of years and will continue to do so long after we're gone. He has not stopped. He will always stand between you, and He always has stood between you and your enemy. And finally, when your back is against the wall, remember that our God is the God of miracles. I could point to so many. But in the last few weeks, we saw the burning bush. We saw the blood of the Nile, the 10 plagues, the 9 other plagues. The passing over of the Israelites. A pillar of wind and fire. And now the Israelites are about to see a new one. They're about to see the parting of the water. As it says in Exodus 14:21, the Lord drove back the sea by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And after that, they saw another one. They saw the waters close on top of the Egyptian army, forever stopping any assault that they might have. That's our God. That's the God of miracles. And we see many, many more. But there's only really one that matters. This is important, yes. I won't discount that this isn't important. But there's one that really, really matters more than all of them. And that is the resurrection. So, in conclusion, because I know this is everybody's favorite part. You're back. May not be against the sea, and you may not have the Egyptian army right in front of you. I hope so. I hope no one is ever in this situation. But I don't know what causes your back to be against the wall. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's one of your kids. Maybe it's a bad decision. Maybe it's a bad hand. But we know who our God is. And though we often don't see it, He will help us through those situations if you let Him. He will stand in front of you, He will stand beside you, or He will carry you. Whatever you need, He will do it for you. And He even says, you don't even have to ask. He would prefer you ask. But that's who our God is. If you would like to know that God, if you don't know that God and you would like to, or if there's something we can do for you, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing this song.